From CNN's Abby Phillip comes her debut book, A Dream Deferred, Jesse Jackson and the Fight for Black Political Power, a triumphant new look at Jesse Jackson's presidential campaigns of the 1980s and how they changed American politics. Available now wherever books are sold.
I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 344. Okay, the first one. Good morning. I hope you're doing well. I thought I would quickly write in again and share another ghost story with you. My husband and I went to Door County, Wisconsin with my best friend and her husband. We took a tour of the Canna Island Lighthouse. We had to ride on a wagon across some shallow water to get to the lighthouse. It was a unique experience to be on a wagon ride being pulled by a tractor over water. It was a dreary and chilly day. I remember walking up to this lighthouse holding my husband's hand, and I guess I started squeezing his hand and didn't realize it. He asked me what was wrong. I responded with, "I'm not sure yet, but something isn't right here." After being married for, at the time, 15 or so years, he was used to my strange feelings and just knowing things sometimes. He assured me it was okay. We entered the gift shop type area, and we were looking around before we started to climb up the lighthouse tower stairs. We got about halfway up, and I stopped. I said, "I can't go any further." He asked why, and I said we would talk about it later. I haven't really shared my just knowing when things bad will happen with my friends, or how I somehow just know when strange things have happened in places. My husband continued without me, and I waited for them where I was. When my husband came back down, I asked if he was okay. He said, "Yeah, I'm fine," and was rubbing his neck a bit. I said, "I know it's haunted here." There was a living type area where the lighthouse keeper stayed. I decided I would try and see that area with my friends. It was just up a small staircase. Halfway up, I found the air so heavy it was hard to breathe. I told my husband to take a picture and I would wait for him. I had a sense of sadness that was hard to shake. When they came back down, my husband said he was ready to go. He believes in the paranormal because when we lived in my childhood home for several years, he felt and experienced many things I grew up with. He told me, "Perhaps you're right about this place." When we arrived back home, we were watching a TV show about haunted places and teams that did investigations at these places. I was unpacking the last of our items, and my husband was watching this show. He yells, "Holy shit, honey, come see this." I came out to our living room to see what he wanted to show me. I said, "Oh, cool, that's the lighthouse we saw this weekend." He said, "I know, keep watching." He said, "You're right, it's haunted, and this team has all the proof." I knew in my heart while we were there, I was right about it being haunted, but seeing the proof gave me shivers a little bit. I hope you all are still looking for stories because growing up in my childhood home, I have many of them I could share with you. I hope you have an amazing, blessed day. Sincerely, Aaron E.
Always looking for stories.
But I might have to use that excuse to not go upstairs in a lighthouse next time. Well, I've never been in a lighthouse, but just let me just end that sentence. Stairs, period. Yeah. Not in a lighthouse, just stairs. Oh, it's haunted up there. I ain't going.
When you said that you rode in a wagon to the lighthouse, I was like, wait, does she mean like a canoe, like a ferry, a wagon?
But pulled by a tractor.
It must have been real shallow.
Well, she said shallow. Why don't we just reiterate the whole fucking story? So then she said.
Do you remember the show he was watching that had the investigative team there?
Crazy, too, that it was like on the exact same day y'all got back.
Yeah. Okay, the next one. Airbnb horror story. Hi, Donna and Carrie. My name's Alexandra, and I've been a fan of the show for about 8 years. My mom actually introduced me to your podcast because we both love bonding over spooky stories. Here's the story of my first anniversary with my now husband. We had planned this little getaway to Los Angeles near Universal Studios. It was our first anniversary, and we wanted something cute, cozy, and close to the park. The listing looked perfect online, so we booked an apartment in Studio City. But when we got there, it looked nothing like the photos. The place felt heavy the second we walked in. There were old family pictures everywhere, an older couple with kids, and shadow boxes hanging on the walls with things like trumpet player's band uniform and a Glee Club award. It almost felt like we were intruding on someone else's memories. The scent hit me too. It smelled like an old person's home. You know, that odd closed-in dusty closet type smell? Then I noticed the calendar on the wall. It was frozen on March 2015, but this was May 2018. Why would a calendar from 3 years ago be still hanging? That was a bit alarming, but I tried to brush it off. After a long day at Universal Studios and going out for dinner at an amazing steakhouse and cocktails at a super cute whiskey bar, around 2 a.m. we stopped at a liquor store before heading back to the apartment. And this is where my intuition really kicked in. I didn't just buy snacks and drinks. I bought incense and some scent candles for protection. My then boyfriend thought it was a joke. It was funny at the time, but deep down, I knew something was off. When we got back, it only got weirder. The TV was on and we had definitely left it off. Not only that, it was on a different channel than what I had last watched before leaving for dinner. I was so creeped out, I didn't even want to sleep in the bedroom. We dragged our stuff toward the living room thinking we'd just crashed there. At that point, it was already 3:30 in the morning and we had been awake for almost 24 hours. Driving up from San Diego at dawn and spending the whole day in the park, I was beyond exhausted. And that's when we heard it. Something that kind of sounded like horns. Faint, but I knew it was coming from upstairs. I looked at my boyfriend and he tried to brush it off, saying, "It's probably a train," but there wasn't a train anywhere nearby. Then came the footsteps. I could hear them clear as day. Someone or something walking right above us in what would be the room with the calendar. That was it. I looked at him and I said, "I'm leaving with or without you." I started packing up our stuff, adrenaline completely overpowering my exhaustion. He followed me, and within minutes, we were back in the car driving south toward home in the middle of the night. The closer we got to San Diego, the more little details we remembered. The calendar, the smell, the TV, the trumpet uniform in the shadow box, the trumpet sounds. And it was like all the pieces were lining up in the worst way. The scariest part is that we had actually rented the Airbnb for 2 nights because the plan was to go to Universal Studios again the next day. Instead, we just lost the money from the Airbnb and ended up going back to the park about a month later. But honestly, it was worth it just to get away from that place. When we finally made it home and collapsed into bed, it felt like the ending scene of a horror movie. Those who just survived the night, shaken but grateful to be alive. What was supposed to be a sweet, romantic anniversary trip turned into something of a horror story. But now, years later, we look back on it fondly. We've always bonded over our love of scary movies, and that night we basically lived one while celebrating our very first year together. Thank you so much for reading my story. I have always wanted to send one in, and my husband finally convinced me to do this one. I hope you like it because I have so many more to share, from living in a haunted apartment to the terrifying stories about the haunted house my dad grew up in. Creep it real and don't get scared. Spooky salutations from San Diego. Well, you know what? I'm a dumb fuck because I thought Universal Studios was only in Florida.
Wait. Yeah. I didn't even put that together. I was like, oh, yeah, Universal Studios. Oh, yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah, so I had no idea. But I have heard of Live from Studio City.
Right? I was like, I know that name. Also, why have you been sitting on this story for so long? And also, thank you for sending it in.
Also, shout out to your mama.
And for you listening since the dawn of time. Talk about an OG.
Right?
Are you tired of us yet? We're tired of us, so you gotta be.
love the story because that sounded like a scary movie. Like it was stuck in time.
Yes.
And I don't blame you for going back. Well, I wouldn't have drove all the way back home. I would have
gotten a damn hotel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I spend money.
Same. I'd have been like, I don't care if I got to pay for this for another decade. Your girl's going to sleep. Yeah. Because, like, I physically get sick when I get tired.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes me kind of sick to my stomach just thinking about how tired y'all were. But you also sent us in all those stories about your dad and you and everybody else in between.
Oh, and congratulations from going from boyfriend-girlfriend to husband and wife.
Okay, the next one. Hey, ladies, back again with more kind of creepy tales. This one is about my first apartment. Obligatory sorry not sorry for the length. I got this apartment after graduating from college and got a job working with a hospital as a phlebotomist. So I needed cheap rent, like $900 a month cheap with utilities. I looked and looked. Then I toured this complex, which was a brick house that was sectioned into five apartments, straight up and down like a condo. Except we all shared one big driveway, but I had a small basement, a kitchen you could wash the dishes and cook at the same time because you could turn around and not even take a step to do either. Had a living room big enough for a couch, a chair, a TV, and a coat rack. Then upstairs was one decent bedroom, and the other was more like a kid's playroom with one bathroom. But hey, it was big enough for one person. Two would have been tight if I got a roommate. It had everything included. Was $700 a month with utilities except electric. Plus AC, the only one in the building. What could have been wrong? Well, a lot. The first night I stayed with all my stuff, I kept hearing things. And I thought to myself, it's just the neighbors. You've got one on each side of you. And this is what it's like renting. So I got up and made sure the basement door to the driveway was locked. All the windows were locked. The door to the basement was locked and the front door. I took my first step on the stairs and I thought I heard a creak. Except the stairs were brand new and had carpet on them. So I got off the step, nothing. Took the step again, no creak. So it's just the apartment settling. It's March. It rained earlier. It's all fine. I go to my bedroom and close the door. I get into bed and I look over to my closet. It was cracked. Maybe I left it open when I started unpacking. I closed it and laid in bed. Was able to drift off. Everything started to settle in the apartment the first week, but the closet kept just opening just a crack. So I would close it and put something in front of the door. I would wake up and it would always be cracked. I started smelling rose perfume in my apartment randomly. I don't own strong rose perfume. It would be like someone sprayed the whole room in it. Eventually, I asked my neighbors if they had candles they burned or something that maybe they shared through a vent. My neighbor, Jeanette, had an allergy to perfumes, and John on the other side, well, his apartment smelled like cigarettes, just when the door opened. So I marked them both off my suspicions, but the smell never stopped. My dad moved back from a year in Costa Rica with his cousin and ended up living with me. The strange activity just kept picking up. He smelled the perfume. The basement door to the kitchen would unlock itself and be wide open. I would hear footsteps in the living room while upstairs. I had enough and saged the apartment and got my priest to give me some holy water to bless my apartment. The activity calmed down for a bit, but came right back and then some. My dad would smell the perfume and feel someone crawl into bed with him. My bedroom door would be cracked and I would feel eyes on me like someone was staring at me. I think I told you guys, but my boyfriend Alex spent the night. After he got spooked at his Nana's house, he felt someone crawl into bed with him, thinking I got home from my night shift early. The poor guy was freaked out so bad, he never spent the night at my apartment alone again. My dad started talking to the landlord and was asking who owned the house before he had it, not mentioning anything about what had been happening. He just said some old lady who always smelt like strong grandma rose perfume. I was shocked. Grandma apparently didn't want to go to sleep alone anymore. I told her to leave me alone and sage the house again. Dad told me he talked to the house when I was gone and told her to leave me alone, but she could cuddle anytime if she would start doing the dishes. I wish I could say I had a ghost who did the dishes, but turns out she just wanted some cuddles. Creep It Real Ladies, Maggie from PA.
Would have been nice if she did the dishes.
I'm not so much into a ghost that cuddles, but I mean, if she played with my hair, I'd be down with that.
I'd be down with cuddling.
No, I don't want you on me. I just want you to play with my hair.
But if they're cold, you would like that.
Now that I could fuck with, yeah.
Well, okay, we're just talking about cuddling, Carrie. God bless.
I love that your dad was like chatting it up with the guy that owned the building, like trying to get all the deets.
How did the one like long driveway work? Because hell, me and Carrie, when we lived in the house in Houston, it was hard to park in the driveway. Like she parked in the garage, but like sometimes I would pull up behind it, but we would have to know like, okay, she's not going into work that day or, you know, like whatever, or I would do street parking. So how does that work when there's like multiple people who are using the driveway?
And then y'all don't like know each other very well to be like, hey, can you move your car so that I can go the fuck to work?
Yeah. That gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah, could not do that.
Okay, the next one. Hi, Donna and Carrie. Been listening to you for maybe 6 years now. Thank you so much for keeping this going, and I hope you don't lose steam anytime soon. Anywho, here are a few of my own personal stories. First, growing up in my parents' house, I would hear a cat purring under my bed here and there. I did own a cat, so I never thought anything of it until one day I was writing in my diary and I heard the cat purring. I thought it was my cat under the bed and once again didn't think anything of it until I looked out my door. I had a bedroom that was upstairs but could see most of downstairs through my door, and I saw my cat running through the living room after running down the stairs. Yet, I was still hearing the purring clear as day in my room. I recall jumping off my bed and looking under it. My bed was raised about 2 feet from the floor, and I used the below area for storage. After moving some things around, I didn't see another cat or anything, yet the purring continued. I didn't feel anything malicious from it, so I just shrugged my shoulders and kept writing in my diary and ignored the purring. It continued to happen here and there throughout the years, and then when I moved out, it stopped, and I never experienced it again. Honestly, I'm unsure if it was there to comfort me when I was feeling sad, but it seemed to happen at random times and not really when there was a pattern of me feeling sad, so I'm unsure. I later learned that the people who owned the house previously had a daughter who would do drugs a lot in what was my room, so unsure if that played a part in the hidden purring or what I will describe next. Luckily, and I'm saying luckily because it's never happened again after the first time, but I experienced sleep paralysis once. This also happened in my childhood bedroom. I believe it was freshman year of college. I commuted to my campus, so I still lived at home to save money. I was taking a nap, and when I woke up from it, I couldn't move. My eyes were able to open, but I could not use anything else in my body. I recall feeling terrified and then seeing a black blob in the corner of my room. Unsure what it was, didn't look like a shadow man as it had no hat and was just a tall black blob with no person details to the blob. However, I do recall how scared of it I felt. I started to scream in my head, "Jesus," since I grew up religious and that's what my mother always taught me to say to back off any evil spirits. I recall fighting with my body until I was finally able to whisper Jesus, and then the black blob seemed to jump at me and into my chest. But then I was free and I was able to jump out of my bed. Unsure what this means for the blob jumping at me, what seemed like into my chest, since I don't recall hearing any similar experiences of this with sleep paralysis. However, I never felt anything after that, nor have I experienced anything like that again, which again, I'm very thankful for. I would consider myself a very vivid dreamer. Most of the time, I know I'm dreaming, so I usually try to enjoy the experience. However, for years, my dreams are what I would consider on the nightmare side. I was always being chased or hunted. The kicker, though, is that I'm never myself in my dreams. I'm always someone or something else. I also either see the dreams from my person's point of view or floating above them. Anyways, I have a series of dreams that happen every 5 to 10 years. I know that's a long jump of time, which is why when I have the dream, I usually don't know it's a repeat until I see the house. I'm usually going on a trip with friends, and then we end up getting to this cottage. Since my dreams are usually nightmarish, you would think this would look like a haunted house. However, this cottage is so beautiful, has a cute garden, and lovely inside. However, there is always fear lingering in the back of my head as I walk around. I usually try to ignore that fear and continue to have fun with my friends as we get settled, and then I'll wake up, always confused as to why this house is so beautiful and yet causes my dream self so much fear. Another reoccurring dream is of my grandma's house. However, in my dream, my uncle has renovated it to be like 3 times its size, and somehow there's a mansion-sized bottom floor that goes through a hill. The new level is very modern and awesome. What's strange is that the only way to get from the bottom floor is by crouching and walking through a tiny door in one of the bathrooms. Then you take a series of stairs to get there. Very inconvenient. But it's an adventure for sure. In these dreams, I'm always exploring and learning something new about the house. As even on the main floor, there are so many rooms to go through and explore. Though in real life, it's a tiny 1,200 square feet, 3-bedroom house. The main floor does have a more dark and moody feel and not super welcoming, yet nothing's really scared me anywhere, and my extended family is always there. So I usually will run into a cousin or an uncle and aunt here and there while going through the rooms. This dream has happened more often, and I probably get it once or twice a year for the last 5 years. Not sure what any of this means, but I'm just glad I always know I'm sleeping, so nothing in my dreams truly scare me. Lastly, my youngest brother passed away in October 2021, and he was 29 years old. At the end of December/New Year's of that year, I got COVID for the first time, and it hit hard. I am used to a stuffy nose with allergies, but was not prepared for having such a stuffy nose and also feeling like I could never get enough oxygen when I breathed. Luckily, that experience only lasted a day for me, though I was sick with the other symptoms for about 2 full weeks. I bring this up to say I lived alone at the time. My fiancé lived in another state and my parents were in a different county, so no one was nearby when I got sick. I recall feeling like shit and just wanting to feel comfortable again. I eventually passed out and then had the most peaceful dream in my life. As I said before, I usually have nightmarish type dreams, so when I say this dream is the epitome of peace, I mean it. Surprisingly, I was in my parents' bed. It was a beautiful sunny day, and the light was not bothersome. In fact, the light brought more peace with it. So I was in bed sick, and my brother came in and hopped in bed with me. I teased him and said, "Mom, Isaac's bothering me while I'm sick," and I laugh and look at him. Then I really look and it dawns on me. He shouldn't be here. So I ask him, "Wait, how are you here?" He just gives me a small smile and lays on his stomach on the bed. So I rush to him and hug his shoulders, close my eyes and say, "Thank you for visiting me." When I open my eyes in the dream, he's gone. However, somehow I know he's okay, happy, and at peace. When I woke up from the dream, I was crying. I still cry when I recall this dream. And so thankful I got my closure to really say bye to him, since I was not able to before he passed. Also, the crying helped clear up my nose briefly, so I was also thankful for that. Thank you, ladies, again for everything you do. Wishing you nothing but the best in life. Warmest wishes, Selena.
Just because this is one of the last things you said, crying makes my stuffy nose so much worse.
So much worse.
It made yours better. I mean, what's it like to walk on water? I mean,
right?
What, you're like one of the universe's favorites, because that, I would still be stuffed up from that.
I hate crying because I'm going to cry because I'm sick and I don't feel good. So if I do anything or whatever, I'm going to cry. And that just, yeah, like, I can't breathe at all. Then it's just like everything is closed.
There's something about all of y'all's stories when we do the sinister sightings sometimes that y'all talk about, like your sleep paralysis, or even the one of the last ones about like how they drove all night and like sleepy and all that, that like it physically makes my body hurt from,
it's so
from
tired.
Sleepy. Yes. I'm like, how do y'all do it?
Well, I was just thinking, I know what you mean when you know you're in a dream.
Yes, I do that too. I have very, very vivid dreams.
Sometimes, and then sometimes I don't, but mostly I do.
And I do know I'm in a dream. And then like sometimes they will be different dreams, but still a continuance of a previous dream. So like, because one of my biggest fears in life is Colby leaving me. So sometimes in my dreams, I'll dream that he has left me, you know, and like, so I'll have this dream that he left me, but I'm like, I'm keeping the engagement ring. And so like, I'll still wear the engagement ring and I'll be doing that in my dream. And then in my next dream, he has left me and I'm still wearing the engagement ring. But like, the story will continue though. Like,
yeah,
not right where it left off, but like, I'll be like, I haven't heard from him in like 2 weeks. Like, he always ghosts me when, you know, it's, I don't know. Anyway, well, let's unpack my trauma.
Right? I was like, okay, when's she going to quit? Oh, okay.
We're just going to keep talking about your trauma. Okay.
I can imagine like you dreaming and being like, yeah, okay, this is going to be a good one. Like with the friends, party in the USA kind of shit. And then it's like, oh shit, this house again? Fuck. Like, it's one of those dreams. Okay. I will say, I was on the couch the other night, and I fell asleep. But, like, you know when you wake up real fast and, like, you, like, jolt? Like, I looked over, and Chris looked at me, and I said exactly what happened. Like I fell off a sidewalk. I fell off the side of something. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't remember what it was. But, like, I remember being like, oh, fuck. And then, like, woke up, and I was like, it was so extreme. My body's jumping like that. I was like, sorry. It was life or death. Okay. Sorry.
Okay. The next one. Hi, you beautiful ladies. I just wanted to say how much I enjoy A Paranormal Chicks. You both have such a natural way of mixing friendly banter with serious and often difficult topics, and you make the paranormal feel approachable without ever losing the spooky edge. As a former paranormal investigator and now the proprietor of a haunted metaphysical store, I've collected more than a few strange encounters of my own over the years. I'd love to share one of my stories with you, and I have plenty more where this came from. I know everyone says sorry for the long story, but if it's too long, too bad. I've already cut out a lot and boiled it down to the basics. It can't really get much shorter than this. Thanks for creating a safe space where listeners can laugh, learn, and still get chills. For those interested, it's September 17th, 2025. Best, Stephanie. Okay, here goes. The Ouija board demon who wanted to teach me fear. Back in 2006, I got wrapped up in an amateur ghost hunting group after a conference they hosted in the haunted town of Port Townsend, Washington. They put WA. That's Washington for Carrie. I met a bunch of people, liked the vibe, and signed up. At the conference, they ran a ghost hunt in this supposedly haunted hotel, and I brought my Ouija board because, of course, I did. One of the organizers set me up in a room, and we rotated people through. Either they sat down and asked questions, or they watched and made nervous faces. We made contact with a few spirits, and it was all silly thrill-seeking at first. Then, towards the end of the night, we got someone who announced his name as Bob Larry. Big, silly name. The kind that comes with a cardigan and suspicious hobbies. Bob got fixated on me. The planchette slid across to me like it had a GPS, and suddenly I was holding it in my lap. We asked what he wanted. He wrote, "Teach you fear." I said thanks, but no thanks, and closed the board. That should have been the end of it. It was not. Back at my hotel, I had trouble sleeping, so I stayed up reading. I finally dozed off after a few hours, put my glasses and my book on the nightstand. In the morning, I reached for my glasses because without them, I'm basically a potato. One lens was missing and one screw was gone. The glasses had been perfectly fine the night before. I found the lens in the bathroom sink, sitting there like it had gone off to have a spa day, but the screw never turned up. no plausible explanation, just a tiny, precise hole where reality should be. I shrugged it off and wore my backup pair, but the creepy didn't leave. The next night, I woke up completely paralyzed. I couldn't move or make a sound. I was lying on my right side. Through the edge of my vision, I could see a small monkey-like shape perched on my left arm. It leaned down and bit me on my neck. The bite woke me enough to squeak, and that broke the paralysis. The monkey was gone. There was no mark on my neck, but the pain was still there. I know people will say sleep paralysis, but I'd never had it before or after. This felt targeted, like someone had rented a haunted animatronic for me personally. From that point on, every time I used the Ouija board, even casually, Bob turned up. He followed me around like a bad theme song. Months passed and my health went downhill. What started as a stubborn flu became bronchitis, then pneumonia. I was wiped out. No breath, no strength. It felt like the life was being leached out of me a little at a time. By then, I'd left the first group and was starting my own. I rented a table at a psychic fair to promote it. Whenever the guy at the table next to me had to step away, he asked me to watch his stall. At the end of the day, he wanted to thank me and handed over a small gift. As he set it in my hands, he casually said, "Do you know you have something nasty on your back?" I told him about Bob Larry. He offered to help. He stood behind me, put his hands on my shoulders, closed his eyes, and after a couple of minutes, I felt a pop, like ears popping on a plane. The pressure shifted. Right after that, I started to feel better. My breathing eased. The fevered decline stopped. Bob disappeared. I was healed enough to keep running my life and my new group. I stayed fine for a long time. No weird lens disappearance, no monkey bites, no cosmic freeloaders. Then about 2 years later, something else happened. But that's a different story. If you want it, I'll tell it to you. And yes, Bob makes a cameo. I'll send in more stories. I have a million of them. Stephanie, send it in.
Send it in. Okay, did you have a vampire monkey though? Like, was that a vampire monkey? Or was it just a monkey that bit your neck?
I think it was just a monkey that just bit her.
Well, but it's like your neck.
But so. It was like on her arm. So, I mean, it was just like right there.
But also he was like, "Do you know that you had something bad on your back?" And like, that's where the monkey, vampire monkey, was.
Yeah, that's like a thing that they say for like substance abuse and stuff too. You have a monkey on your back.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Not saying 70 has issues with substance abuse, but like, that's just interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you were nice and watched his stall and stuff.
For so, real.
Like, him off- to give you that and then mm-hmm. see that and remove that. But also, Bob Larry, what a name.
It's like giving Bob's bizarre bizarre.
Nothing is that great, though, okay? Even though he was a terrible person. Why do you have to be such a terrible freaking person?
Also, I need more stories.
Yeah, like, that was, like, one of those, like, a cliffhanger. Okay, next chapter, though.
Yes, like, I would have kept reading. I would not have put the book down. You know what this reminded me of? It reminded me of a story from Ghost in the Burbs, but yet it's, like, your real life.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, last one. Stingrays from the Beyond. Hi, y'all. My name's Joni Marie, and I've been listening to A Paranormal Chicks for years. I honestly don't remember what other podcast sent me your way, but once I heard one episode, that was it. Hooked. You've got me through countless solo drives during grad school in Nashville while my husband was living way the hell over in Oregon. Now, this isn't exactly sinister, unless you count the afterlife having a messed up sense of humor. It's more of a sign from the dead story. And I'll admit, I used to side-eye those. I'm a PhD astrophysicist, which basically means my default setting is extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Butterflies showing up because grandma liked butterflies, heartwarming, but my skeptic brain said confirmation bias. Then my brother Brian died in April 2023, and suddenly I wasn't so smug. He'd been in recovery, had just gotten married, and his wife was pregnant. Then, out of nowhere, gone. She found him from an apparent fentanyl overdose. It destroyed us. He was only 18 months older than me and one of my best friends. It breaks my heart thinking I'm now older than my big brother ever got to be. So in the middle of that grief spiral, I decided if I was ever going to believe in signs, mine had to be way too specific to brush off. No butterflies, no cardinals. I needed impossible. So what came to mind? Stingrays. Why stingrays? Because Brian and I grew up glued to the crocodile hunter, and when Steve Irwin died, we coped with that the only way we knew, dark humor. One year, Brian even dressed up as Steve Irwin with a stingray through the heart. Yeah, dark, I know, and way too soon, but that was us. Plus, we live in the desert. No oceans, no lakes, no rivers, hell, not even so much seafood. No stingrays. Perfect sign, right? So one particularly bad day, I just said out loud in the car, Brian, if you're okay, show me a stingray. I cried, drove on, and figured, welp, never going to see that. Not even 24 hours later, I started a brand new podcast in one of those damn no new episodes from my followed podcast moments. From my recommendations, I saw Heart Starts Pounding, and I chose an episode at random. That random episode I'd picked, it was about Julianne Kopic, the girl who survived a plane crash in the jungle. There's even a book about her story, The Girl Who Fell from the Sky. The single survivor of that plane crash, Julianne, had remembered her father saying that if you're ever lost, follow water. You'll find people and they can help. The host is explaining that Julianne had to follow a stream barefoot and then casually drops a line that she kept almost stepping on freshwater stingrays. Excuse me? I didn't even know freshwater stingrays were a thing, but there they were, stingrays. Now, I bet someone listening is going to roll their eyes, but okay, maybe coincidence. I brushed it off. Then, a couple of days later, my husband, son, and I were playing a game called Gartic Phone. It's like Pictionary, but online. We use it often for family time since my husband was working in another city. The game works like this. Players write out a prompt, and other players attempt to draw that prompt. Then the pictures are shown, and another player guesses what the prompt was. Finally, the original prompt is revealed, and laughter ensues. We picked the random prompt option. When it was my husband's turn, he draws. A bunch of questionable-looking doodles with party hats. Let's be real here, they look like dicks. None of us could guess the prompt. I think my guess was mushroom birthday party. Then the prompt reveals itself. Stingray slumber party. That was when I felt Brian basically rolling his eyes like, sis, you ask for this. Here's round two. Believe me this time. The delivery was so him. Crass, morbid, and sassy to the end. So, do I believe in signs? Still a scientist, still skeptical, but I also have a stingray planned for my memorial tattoo for Brian. Sometimes the universe gives you butterflies. Sometimes it smacks you in the face with a stingray slumber party. I've sent along a writing that helped me and still helps me in mourning. I thought I would include it for your personal reading or y'all could share it as it might help others the same way. Thanks for letting me share. Y'all keep it creepy and don't get scared. Okay, the reading is, you want a physicist to speak at your funeral. You want a physicist to talk to your grieving family about the conservation of energy, so they'll understand that all your energy has not died. You want a physicist to remind your sobbing mother that all your energy, every vibration, every BTU of heat, every wave of every particle that was her beloved child remains with her in this world. You want a physicist to tell your weeping father that amid energies of the cosmos, you gave as good as you got. At one point, you'd hope that the physicist would step down from the pulpit and walk to your broken-hearted spouse there in the pew and tell him that all the photons that ever bounced off your face, all the particles whose paths were interrupted by your smile, by the touch of your hair, hundreds of trillions of particles have raced off like children, their ways forever changed by you. And the physicist will remind the congregation of how much all of our energy is given off as heat. There may be a few fanning themselves with their program as he says it. He will tell them that that warmth that flowed through you and life is still here, still part of all we are, even as we who mourn continue the heat of our own lives. And you'll want the physicist to explain to those who loved you that they need not have faith. Indeed, they should not have faith. Let them know that they can measure, that scientists have measured precisely the conservation of energy and found it accurate, viable, and consistent across space and time. You can hope your family will examine the evidence and satisfy themselves that science is sound and that they'll be comforted to know that your energy is still around. According to the law of conservation of energy, not a bit of you is gone. You're just less orderly. Amen. Erin Freeman. Well, if you wanted to prove that you're an astrophysicist, you did it.
Right. Also, when it said stingrays, I was like, what in the freaking Steve Irwin is going on here? And then it really was about him.
Yeah, I know. My sister went and like swam with the stingrays one time. And I was like, I'm not doing that. They killed Steve Irwin. If yes. he could die, I could, like, I surely will.
Like, what a freak accident.
It really was. And I'm so sorry for the loss of your brother, Brian. And I love how you're like, sometimes life gives you butterflies and others stingray slumber parties. Because I love Gartic Phone. It is always so fun.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't know that was what the name of it was. But I do know the game, and it is very funny.
Yeah, we play that in the Creepinati on Discord sometimes, and that, it's, yeah. You, like, there's some of us who have artistic abilities, and then others, like me, who don't. But yeah. I can think of some weird-ass random prompts.
You really can, yes. And then there's me. I can't do either.
Whatever. And I think it's okay to be like, signs. Okay. It's always because Carrie's like you, because I feel like anyone who's kind of in the medical field at any point, like anyone who has that scientific part is like, was I really them? I don't think so. You know, but Carrie will say something. She's like, I mean, I don't think that was really, you know, whatever. And I'm like, but you thought of him. It made you think of your dad. It made you think of whoever, and that's the whole point for me, is that, yeah, maybe dragonflies aren't my mom, you know, but when I see them, I'm comforted, and it makes me think of her, and in that, I can think, like, no, she would do X, Y, Z, that whatever I was, like, pondering at that moment, or she, you know, like, if I'm, like, sick, and I'm like, I want my mom, and I see a dragonfly, I'm like, oh, she's here, you know, yeah. So it's not really, like, sure, that's probably not a sign from her, but it's a sign of her for me.
Well, maybe it's just her energy continuing on.
I did like that. I mean, it sounded very smart and a lot, but it is kind of like what we say, the energy is still here. So, yeah, that was a very scientific way to say that. Not me, the Erin Freeman guy.
Well, thank y'all so much for sending in these stories. Some of y'all have been listening for a long time. And some of y'all left us fucking hanging, and I need answers.
What if someone said, I've been listening for like 10 years, be like, you over-exaggerating like I do.
Well, if you want your story read on an episode just like these people, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.